Welcome to the What's Your Weird Story podcast.
Everyone has at least one good story.
And some of us have stories that are just to the left of normal.
We're interested in the ones that push the boundaries of what we can perceive.
Stories that defy explanations.
Stories with an air of mystery.
Stories we might not share.
For fear of being thought of differently.
But don't worry. We're all friends here. So, what's your weird story?
Welcome to the What's Your Weird Story podcast. I'm Barry Johnston. With me, as always, Adam Beebe.
Hello, Barry Johnston, who I am always with, if not physically, but emotionally and spiritually.
Absolutely.
I hope that didn't make it weird.
Just a little bit, but I'm comfortable with it.
I don't care. I've known you forever. That's probably not the weirdest I shouldn't say this, but that's probably not the weirdest thing I've said to you.
Oh,
so
shit. Hell no. When you've known someone for 43 years, you've seen the weirdest of the weird.
That's true. It's so, you know, again, it's funny because, you know, you just turned 43 and I've known you all your life, but yet I'm still in my late 20s.
It's incredible. And you look the same.
You know?
You haven't aged a bit.
I got a little bit of the Dorian Gray genes or something. I don't know. Something. But, you know, to be honest, to be fair, I do have good genes, both my parents. My dad passed away fairly early, but he did not look his age. And my mom is in her late 40s, you know?
Yes.
So she doesn't look her age either.
Absolutely. So, absolutely. That's something that we don't have any control over, but thank God for good genes, man. Yeah. You know?
Indeed, man. And I was in clean living. So, sorry.
Hey, clean living now.
Hey, now I've been clean living for quite a long time, and it's good. It's good.
That's good. I'm not quite as clean living, but I find inspiration from you, my friend.
Well, you know, and I from you. That sounds like the appropriate thing to say. So,
I know what you mean.
Yeah, I know. You know it. So anyway, joining us once again, our first return friend, interview friend. I don't know what we should call. I don't know. Interviewee is a weird term, but this is our first returner to come back. Our first getting seconds in line. I'm running, Barry.
Return guest.
A return guest. Guest. Guest is a good word.
There you go.
Guess is a good word. I guess it'll work.
Just swinging in the wind.
So anyway, maybe that voice you just heard reminds you who it was. But anyway, our first return guest is our friend Justin Little, returning again. You may recall from his previous episode where he described the psychic explorations and testing of his friend and some other goodies there, but he's come back and he's got more, and this is some cool stuff, and we're very excited to hear more, and we're very excited that you've joined us, come back. Let's get to it, because I've run out of words. Justin, what's your weird story?
Okay. Well, I've got a couple, and then I've got a half one, and I'm going to lead with the half one because it's just I want to warm up. But first, I want to say that, like, okay, so the first time we spoke was before you guys had launched, and you guys were, I think you kind of were building up the bank of interviews.
Yeah.
And so I had, the only thing I knew about the show was what you guys had told me about it. And since then, I've become a fan, and I'm listening to the shows, and like, I can't wait for them to drop every week. And as I listen to them, it's kind of how what you guys experience during the interviews, where you're talking with somebody, then like, oh, and then it reminds me, in, you know, in the very conversational, organic manner, they come up with another story. Well, as a listener, you know, I'm listening, like, oh, it reminds me of something that happened. I gotta tell Adam about that, you know. And you know, so here I am.
That's awesome. That's what we're shooting for. That's what we're hoping for.
For sure. And everybody else out there, if this happens to you, if you have the same kind of response, start keeping a journal there by your bedside or wherever it is that you listened to the podcast and write this stuff down. If you're driving, pull over to the side of the road. Don't just do it while you're driving, because then, you know, we want you to be safe, because we want you to come back for every episode. And then, but yeah, dude, that's really cool. And we appreciate you saying that you like the show. Obviously you do, because you come back, and we appreciate that. And it's been exciting. So, thank you for the pats on the back.
Yeah. It's cool.
It is dangerous to try and write in a journal while you're driving, I can tell you.
Yeah.
I did figure out the other day, though, that if I could get used to eating with my left hand, I don't have to stop writing with my right hand.
There you go.
Yeah, but oh, you drive.
That's
with
multitask.
Is that what you do, or is this not while you're driving?
I don't, well, now that I have the fancy pants cell phone, I can just record my thoughts like an old school reporter. Oh, yeah. As I'm driving. But I used to write, I used to get ideas while I was driving and try and write them while I was driving. And that was, I can tell you, that was 10 times more dangerous than texting and driving.
For sure. Yeah. For sure.
Man, I've tried to sketch out ideas for being an artist. You know, I have ideas. I've tried to sketch out ideas, and that is the worst, because you don't. You find you shouldn't do this, but of course you learn. And by the time you get done, you don't even know what the hell you've got. You know, you've lost it completely.
Just a bunch of scribbles.
So, what I wanted to tell you guys about was. So I have this daughter. She's 7. Her name is Audrey, and she, I think it's sleepwalking. Now, to give you to build the mental image here, the mental illness to build the mental illness to build the mental image. Now she is, she's got very fair skin. She's been compared to a milk jug. And she's got these.
I laugh at your daughter for that.
Just very. And she's got these large, pale blue eyes, and she's striking as far as with the fair skin and those big, pale blue eyes. And she's like a specter, you know. And if you were casting a part of a spectral child for a film, she's who you want. And to top that off, she does some creepy stuff. And so the first thing, she's done some stuff in the past, but the first thing that made me go, huh, was when she was 6, we were driving in the car, and it was nighttime, and she'd fallen asleep in the back seat. And and she'd been asleep for a while, and so she was like really, really sleeping. She was deep in there, and I pull in the driveway, and I don't know if like it was an inclined driveway. I don't know if the bump kind of jostled her, disturbed her, but I, you know, get out of the car and I open up the door, and I've got some bags of stuff in the trunk that I need to unload. So I pull her out, and I just set her down on her feet. No, I knew she'd just woken up, but I've done that a million times in the past, so I wasn't really concerned. I just figured she would walk into the house and we'd get it sorted out from there. So I set her down, but she freaks out, and she's going, no, no, and not just no, no, but she's just making these generalized, like, noises of, like, she's very upset, and she's trying to hide behind my legs, and it was very unusual. She never done anything like that before, and I'm going, what's going on, what's going on? And I hadn't quite figured out it yet. And so I pick her up. I figure I'll get the bags later, and I pick her up, and she's going, no, 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 and she's pointing into the darkness, into the space in between my house and the neighbor's house, which was just a pitch black little walkway. And she's just pointing into the darkness, and she's going, no, no, no. She's half like burying her head into my shoulder, and then half looking, and then baring her face again, but she keeps pointing and saying no. And they're like, what? What is it? What do you see? And she doesn't say anything. She's just freaking out. And she's not making eye contact or anything. She's just, you know, as I start thinking, okay, well, I think I woke her up too jarringly, and she's in some kind of in-between state here, like a sleepwalk state, and I gotta, you know, I'll take care of this. And so I'm walking, she's in my arms, and I'm walking to the front door to unlock the front door and get her inside. As I'm getting, you know, to approach the front door, that's the door is close to the edge of the house, so I'm approaching the darkness that she's pointing at. So she's freaking out. She's becoming even more and more agitated. And so I get, you know, I'm fumbling with a key, and I get I unlock the door, and she's really starting to go now. And I get her inside, and I'm like, I just got to get her upstairs in her room and, you know, put her to bed. And so I get her, I carry her up the stairs, I go in her room, I lay her down on the bed, but she doesn't lay down. She sits right up, and she draws her knees up and like crosses her, you know, her arms. She's in a very like defensive position. And she's now pointing at the dark corner of her room, and she's going, no, and still no eye contact or anything. I said, what is it? She's just not responding to me at all. And so I sit down on her bed, and I kind of, you know, brace her by the shoulder. I said, what do you see? And she turns, and she looks me right dead in the eyes, and she says, scream face.
Oh no.
I was like, oh no. So I said, okay. And I'm looking, you know, and so I'm about 90% sure it's just a waking dream.
Yeah.
But 10% of me is like, there's a demon, and she sees it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, dude.
So I say, okay, everything's fine. Lay down. And so she laid right down. And I said, okay, close your eyes. And she closed her eyes. I said, now go to sleep. And she rolled over and she went right to sleep. It was like someone in a hypnotic state taking direction. And the next morning, she didn't remember a thing. And so her mom and I are not together. And so I called, and I told her what happened. I said, have you ever experienced anything like that with her? And she goes, you know, there have been some strange things. I said, well, like what? And she says, well, you know, one time, this over at her mother's house, this was told to me, so I didn't experience it, but her brother got up in the middle of the night to go use the bathroom, and he gets up, and he walks out of his room, and the hallway is dark, there's no lights on, everyone's asleep, and he turns on the hallway light to go to the restroom, go to the bathroom. He flicks on the light, and there's his 6-year-old sister just standing at the end of the hallway. Like, and God knows how long she's just been standing there, just looking at him.
Wow.
You know, so it freaked him out, you know, and he's like, go to bed, you know, and she just doesn't, she follows direction, but she doesn't respond. She's
yeah. Saying, dude. That's creepy, dude.
I want to wedge in real quick, because this has been probably the longest time that we've had anybody, you know, really tell a story where we haven't broken in. We've been quiet because this is super weird. This is like super, it's creepy. And, you know, it's probably not anything, you know, it is probably her just being in a state of unconsciousness, but you know, like sleepwalking, but still, dude, this is weird.
Yeah, and nothing as intense as the scream face night has happened since then, as far as I know, or not when she's been staying with me. But but she does do some weird things here and there in the middle of the night, and she never has any recollection of it. And it's just kind of now this unspoken thing in the house where, like, well, just tell her to go to bed and don't say anything about it the next day. And but I also think now she's we're a year past that, she's 7. I think she also now knows that she's kind of creepy, and she's playing with us a little bit. She gets up, she'll get up like real early, and then she gets up before everybody else, and she'll like stand behind the door and you know, and I'll walk in to like check on the baby or something, and I'll swing the door shut, and she's standing there, and I'll like, you know,
God.
She'll get me. She knows she got me. You know,
I love this kid.
The sleepwalking thing and the night terror thing is really strange because, you know, you can't tell what's going on there because, like, you know, I told before about the guy that grew up around my neighborhood that used to have night terrors. His eyes would be wide open and he would be talking and totally in a dream state. But you think you're communicating with him, and to a degree you are, but he's living in the dream. And so the only way you could get him to wake up was put him in the bathroom and tell him to go to the bathroom. And then when he'd go to the bathroom, he would wake up. And then he'd open the door, and you'd be standing there, and he'd be going, "What's going on?" And you're like, "Dude, you were just freaking out. You were freaking out. We thought you were having a meltdown." But it's a weird thing that, you know, unless you know what's going on with that person, you know, unless you know them pretty well, that could be a really, really creepy, strange thing.
I'm gonna interrupt and say, regardless, it's a creepy,
yeah, for sure,
weird, strange
it
thing.
It is.
Because, you know, I don't think, and I'm not a sleep scientist, but I don't think we understand really why the brain does that kind of thing. There's still so much we don't understand. You know, so it is weird that, you know, you get on some kind of like autopilot kind of thing, but you are. You know, I mean, dreaming itself is kind of strange. I had some crazy dreams last night that I woke up in the middle of the night and it was just like, they weren't necessarily scary, but they were just over the top intense. And, you know, I woke up and I was just like, I had to like kind of be awake for a little bit just to, so I could go back to sleep. But, you know, just that kind of unconscious reaction and like, you know, dealing with both sides of it, you know, dealing with it is just, that's got to be so bizarre. And especially if it's your child and she's saying, you know, she's freaking out like that, dude. Man.
Yeah. When I tell the story to other people, and I want to play with them a little bit, I'll tell the story exactly how I told it up to the point where I'm carrying her upstairs and saying, "Oh, and I'll bring her, I carry her in her room and I lay her down and she draws up into a defensive position and she's pointing." And I said, "What is it?" And she's pointing at the closet. And I said, what is it?" And she says, "There's a little girl in my closet pretending to be me." And so then I walk over to the closet, I open the closet, and there's my daughter. And she says, "There's a little girl in my bed." That's a real old ghost story. Man. I'm sure you guys have heard that before, but I like,
that's when
I,
great.
Like, I'll, you know, like I totally bait them with the,
that's
with the
awesome.
Beginning of the story, which is true. And then
that's
tag
great.
Them with that.
It's funny you say that. Cause, on our first episode, Meet Us, like he told that story as, you know, cause we were talking about, his little brother was sleepwalking and he just remembered that story, you know, as far as like an aside, like, you know, this old ghost tale that everybody's heard. And I heard some other podcast. I think it was, last podcast on the left, read a creepy pasta like that. So that story is like, you know, it's a classic one, and it's, I don't care. It's still, it's freaky.
Yeah,
it's that's crazy. A freaky thing.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Well, okay. So, no more Scream Face.
No more Scream Face.
Now, had she seen the movie Scream? Did she know what that face was, or was she saying like a screaming face, or you have any idea?
I am assuming that it's this, the mask from Scream, and not,
or she's not.
She's not seen the movie, but her brother has
okay
mask or had one at one point.
And so
I assume that that's what was sticking in her. Yeah. I assume it was a brain dream. What other kind of dream is it?
Right.
Is it some kind of something that's stuck in her brain?
Or possibly she's a art critic and she's not a big fan of Edvard Munch.
That's good. Yeah,
So cool. So no more incidents, really. She's just being creepy on purpose now.
Creepy on purpose, and then minor creepy things. You know, she might walk around at night, and everybody just tells her to go to bed, and everyone's kind of gotten used to it.
Yeah.
No real super overtly terrifying.
Was that the first time that you had ever experienced and dealt with it with her, with sleepwalking or with just that kind of, oh, wow.
That was my introduction to it. Wow. Dude, nobody had warned me.
Damn.
That's an intense introduction. You would think that mom or brother would be like, we'd pass the word along, but,
And I'm no absentee father. Like I was gay for the first 4 years and then there half the time, the rest, I was around for a lot of it. So maybe they assumed that I'd experienced it or they hadn't, I don't know. They didn't, they didn't make note or they didn't think to tell me if they did.
Right. Or maybe they thought, hey, let's just play with him a little bit. Let's see what happens whenever he figures us out.
He babysits, by the way. My kid's possessed.
Yeah, right. You know,
mind the meditation.
That's awesome.
That's great. So did she dress up as a ghost for Halloween, or did she just...
She dressed up as a zombie bride, and she made the costume herself.
Oh, wow.
She had a white flower girl dress that she put very, very realistic blood stains on that she made with her with paint, and she did her own makeup and she did her hair crazy, and I was very impressed. She's of all the children that I have, she seems to be the one that got the creativity.
That's great.
She never ceases to surprise me.
That's great.
That's really cool.
Five, four, three, two, one. Happy New Year!
Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year.
2019, we are going to rock, and we know you're going to rock it too.
We're looking forward to another amazing year.
Thank you for listening to us and being our friends and our part of our community. And we are looking forward to the growth in this next coming year, or this year that's here.
We can't wait to see what the new year brings.
Right. You got any New Year's resolutions there, Bear?
I think my goal is to just keep my shit together.
For us, for the show, I'm going to try to be better at Twitter. I am also going to continue to maintain my level of cultivated general sex appeal. It's a unique one that will certainly vibe for someone out there. So, hey, once again, Happy New Year, everybody. We're going to get back to the show here, but we just wanted to say, as we always do, we appreciate you. We love you. Thank you for being part of this, and let's have a great new year.
Happy New Year, everyone.
All right, cool. Well, moving on, I guess that was the light one. That was the half one, yeah. So let's get into, because there's one actually I know about, but there's one that I'm really interested in, and I think that's probably the next one. So
okay, I moved around a lot when I was a kid, and one of the places I lived was in Cleveland, Ohio. They're a small town below outside of Cleveland, Ohio. And I was there from first grade through half of sixth grade. And it was a Norman Rockwellian experience growing up there. It was exploring the woods and climbing the trees and, fishing and swimming in ponds. And it was great. And I was the new kid until the next guy moved in like 4 years later. And everybody was very friendly and nobody was judgmental and nobody was, everybody was pretty blue collar. And I just hadn't been exposed to you know, that cool materialism that exists. And when I was then halfway through sixth grade, we moved to Palm Harbor, Florida, which was a little bit more of an affluent area, and in Florida, I think that, like, nobody's from here, nobody's staying here, and so there's not that you really have to fight to find the sense of community, and there's a lot of, you have to wade through a lot of, you know, falsities and,
yeah,
and
that's very true. People. I lived in Florida. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah. And it's difficult to navigate that, especially being at like a kind of a vulnerable transitional age and coming from a place that was so accepting and so community oriented. And so I my first day into school, which was like 10 times the size of my old school, you know, there wasn't anybody to, they didn't buddy me up with anybody to show me around. They didn't introduce me to the class. It was like none of the things, none of the courtesies that had been extended to me previously to assist in a transition like that. In Florida, everybody's new. Everybody's been new. It's nothing, you know, if they can't take time out every day to introduce every new kids, they'd be taking time out every day to introduce some kids. So they just let you swing. And so I had like a little bit of a rough go at it because, you know, like these people, they dressed in brands that I wasn't familiar with, and they called me Kmart clothes and made fun of my shoes, and, you know, and I just didn't understand. Like, it wasn't that I didn't feel bad about how I looked or how I dressed. I was completely naive and innocent. I didn't understand it at all. And then there's no reprieve. Like, even like on the bus, like I got there's this bunch of girls, like, it sounds really terrible, but I'm saying it's but a bunch of girls like ganged up on me and kicked me off the bus because I had moved into their friend's house. And like, I don't know if they didn't understand how that works, that, like, you know, she was going to move whether I moved into her house or not. But for some reason I was blamed for it. And so it was a little bit of a, you know, it was a difficult transition.
It sounds like there was a bit of culture shock,
yes,
going on. And so, and roughly, like, when, what time period was this?
This was 1988.
Okay. Yeah. So at that point, that would have been, that's, you know, those pre-internet days. And that would have been, you came from the Midwest. And at that point in time, in case people don't realize, anything that was like popular and cool and all that stuff all started on the coasts, you know, in California or up in, like, you know, New York and then all along the East Coast and the West Coast there. And all those trends would trickle in towards the middle. And so about, if you're in the middle, the flyover states, is that they call them, it would take about 2 years for any kind of a trend to get in there.
Yeah.
So by 1989, in the middle of America, you know, you're probably just getting into like Vision streetwear and you know, stuff like that. Like skating.
That's right. Or, I was getting into skating, and they were already out of skating when I
came. Exactly. Yeah.
I was lambasted for being a skater. And I was like, I thought this is what made me cool. You know, like, I'm good at this. Like, you know, like, well, I can't find anybody to skate with.
Yeah.
And
I was already doing designer drugs by that time.
Yes. Yeah. These kids are getting laid. It was terrible. And so I didn't have any friends. And so there was one guy that his locker was near mine, and I was at the locker, and I guess, I don't know if I looked flustered or if he just knew that he hadn't seen me before, but he turns to me and he says, "Hey, you doing all right?" And I'm like, yeah, well, I'm okay. And he was, this your first day? And I'm like, yeah, it is. I'm new here. And he's like, hey, well, don't worry about it. You know, everything's going to be fine. You know, he goes, he was in seventh grade. He goes, I'm in seventh grade. And But yeah, don't worry about it. And you'll make friends. It'll get better. And so I come home and, my mom is like, how was school? And I didn't want to tell her how terrible it was. And I was like, it was fine. It was good. And she's like, did you make friends? I'm like, yeah, I did. I made a friend. And so the rest of the year was pretty much like that still, where I did not have any friends, but I would run into this guy at least once a day at the locker. And I wouldn't say we were friends. We just collided once a day with our schedules. But he always took a moment to check in with me and be like, you doing all right? You good? You're okay. Cool. And I appreciated that. And as far as I could tell, he was the only decent person in the entire school. And I would come home and my mom would say, did you see your friend today? I'm like, yep. And then I would exaggerate. So I didn't want my mom to worry about me. So it was, he's my best friend. And, I was just really laying it on to, because I didn't want, because they were, she was going through transition too. I didn't want them.
Yeah. He didn't want worrying. To worry. Yeah.
And then you don't want your mom, you don't want your parents to think you're a loser. You're the kid that doesn't fit in and can't make friends and, doesn't understand what he's supposed to wear or doesn't have the money to get the things he's supposed to wear. I didn't want to make them feel worse.
Sure.
And so I was like, I could handle it. So.
And you're right there in the pretty much worst time of life to be, unfortunately, to be uprooted and then replanted.
And no brothers or sisters and no extended family.
And you might as well have moved to another country, at that point, because you're so radically different from all those people. And in middle school, middle school is just, it's hell.
Yeah, kids
it's
are tough.
Just hell for everybody, man. I had some troubles in middle school and just fitting in and all of that stuff. And
we were in a small town.
We were a tiny little town,
Where everyone knew each other,
Yeah. And pretty much knew each other all our lives, So, yeah, that's just, that's a struggle. And, it seems like that's a sign of your own character that, you didn't want to bring a burden onto your mom. For what you were dealing with there on your own.
So
sorry,
it's all right. Yeah, so the days continued like that, where I'd see this guy once a day, and one day I was in school and I didn't see him, and I didn't really think much about it. Nobody has perfect attendance. Everybody gets sick every once in a while. It goes to the doctor or whatever. I just didn't really, I took note that I didn't see him that day, but I didn't really give it a second thought. The next day I got up in the morning and I go downstairs to eat some breakfast. And my mom is very excited and she's holding the newspaper and she says, Justin, a boy from your school yesterday, he didn't go to school. He skipped school. He got his mother's gun. He shot his neighbor in the back of the head, put his body in the trunk of the neighbor's car, and then drove around all day until they found out what happened and they caught him. I said, oh my God. And she goes, do you know him? And she lays down the paper and I looked at the photo and I said, yeah, that's my only friend.
Oh my God, are you serious, dude?
Yeah, it was him.
Whoa.
It was that guy.
So, how much, I know you spoke a little bit here and there, but did you have more of a connection to him than that? Or was it just kind of at face value at that point?
Our conversation had never really moved beyond pleasantries,
right,
and just minor encouragement, sure, from him. Right. And in fact, I don't even think I ever I don't think we ever properly introduced each other, you know, to one another. Like, I didn't even know his name until after it was in the paper. Mm-hmm. And
wow.
Yeah. And so
what did you, like, did they figure out what happened? Like, what set it off? What triggered him to do that? No pun intended.
There's no pun intended. No, I never found out anything more about it. And, you know, it was pre-internet.
Yeah, pre-internet and pre this world that we live in now where kids show up to school and shoot everybody. So that wasn't a very common occurrence. This would have been, like, way out of the norm. I mean, sadly, that we have to think that things like this happen are normal, or in today's society are normal. But back then, it would have been, like, just crazy, crazy, crazy.
Yeah. Like, a lot of those details you get that are not necessarily reportable are through comment streams and people who, you know, mutual connections. And so none of that existed. So if the newspaper didn't write a special follow-up article.
He's 13. He'd been 13 maybe when he did that.
I did find out that he'd been held back. So he was, he was like 14 or 15 when he did it.
Wow.
Still though, man, that's,
so the only kid you make a connection with ends up being the wrong kid to make a connection with. So that must
as far as it, yeah. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, he was still the nicest guy in the whole school, right, even though he's a murderer.
Right. I mean, damn, dude. Oh, man. That's crazy.
That's it. This, you know,
I feel bad for your 11-year-old self.
Yeah, because that's a that doesn't really turn things around. I mean that didn't really, like, I don't know, maybe it did, maybe that got you to, like, maybe that was a catalyst to make new friends or something, but still, that's just a big, that seems to be another massive blow for a young person, to anybody, really. I mean, if I, you know, I think at any point in life, if that happened, it would still be, it's still not a bitter pill to swallow, but definitely just, you know, that's a tough one to take in and deal with. Yeah. I mean, you know, you're not the victim or the victim's family, but you're in that weird position where you know that person who is, you know, a murderer, and you don't understand that aspect of them because you never would have guessed. You know, I mean, I can't even put my brain. And I could just say that, what I just said, but I can't even get my brain to wrap around that whole concept of what it would be like.
I could imagine, too, like, you probably were like, okay, what sets this guy apart from me? You know, like, what's the difference between him and me? I mean, I'm a new kid at school. I'm the one that's trying to figure things out. This dude was nice enough to say hello to me, and then he goes and kills somebody. Like, what in the world did I just get myself into? You know, what kind of world did I just step into, you know?
And maybe that was access, you know, because he knew where to get his mother's gun and, like, how many things are averted because, you know, acts of violence are averted just because somebody doesn't have access to, you know, the easy kill machine.
Right.
The fact that do you remember, were there rumors that went around of what happened, or do you remember any of that?
You know what was, what I remember the most, what was most shocking was, okay, so I believe he was a misfit as well, him having been held back, and I never saw him with anybody else. And people forget the misfits.
Yeah.
And
until they really do something like that, you know,
And it, like, the first week and a half, 2 weeks after it happened, there was, like, a lot of, like, can you believe some guy from our school did that? But then it just fell off everyone's radar, and now, even now, like, that same year, I did make friends with a guy who I'm still super close with. We talk, like, several times a week, and we've been like brothers since, you know, we're 11 years old, and he doesn't even recall it happening. You know, and I've, you know, other people from the school, they just, I don't remember that happening at all. And I'll point him out in the yearbook, and, like, no, I don't remember him.
Wow.
Dang.
That's heavy, dude. I mean, you know, you know, it's also so tragic that, you know, someone so young does that. And, you know, I mean, it's a mystery that, you know, prompts me to, you know, why? I just want to know. Yeah. I mean,
well, I think because my wife, she went to a school like probably about the same size that you're talking about, Justin. Mm-hmm. And the world that I grew up in was such a different world. I mean, we were such a small school. And I think that when you get shuffled into large numbers like that, you become a number. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? You become sort of just a faceless person.
Yes.
And whereas maybe in a smaller community, you get a little bit more hands-on attention. And some mm-hmm. of those kids that might have been sucked into the vortex of hell or craziness can, you know, get a helping hand at some point and maybe, you know, turn things around. But at a large school like that, where you're talking about maybe 1,000 kids, you know, being in the same class as each other. I mean, you're just shuffling kids through the door, dude. You're just trying to get them through, you know,
yeah,
to the
next. Processing.
Exactly, man. Just stamp the next certificate on through. You know, so I think that could have something to do with it. But again,
yeah,
you know, back then, those days were different than now, where kids can sort of escape into their computers and their iPhone, which causes a whole other issue. But back then, it was you had more human interaction. So the fact that he would do something like that just tells you how crazy and screwed up his personal life, which must have been. His home life could have been hell, you know. So yeah. that's just crazy, man. And what a weird thing to have to deal with when you're 11, you know. I mean, yeah. It's just I don't have any I can't really in my life, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense. You know, I don't know what I would have thought if I were that age, you know, and something like yeah. that happened. So crazy.
Yeah.
Indeed.
So we want to try an experiment. We want to get stories from you, the listener, for us to read on air.
What we're saying is, if you don't feel comfortable being interviewed on air, you can type up your story and send it to us, and we will have it read, and we'll share your story that way.
It'll be a cross between us telling your story and our reactions to your story.
So what we'll probably do is have a third party read your stories, and we'll react as we typically do.
And we want to try this as an experiment. It's an idea that we've come up with.
Now, granted, we can't ask you the questions we would normally ask someone who is involved in the story, but we may have our reader just make up stuff.
That could be part of the charm.
And it's a little silly, but we're going to try it, and it'll be fun.
Well, okay. Right. On to the next.
This is actually the one that I'm glad, you know, I think ending with this one is probably better, because this is the one I wanted to hear more of, because this is also a very unusual, from what you briefly described. So go ahead.
So, Barry, you're in for a treat. I'm not sure. Adam might have heard this from other people already, or may not have, but this happened during the Greenville years when Adam and I were both there. And so I'd gotten off work, and my buddy Daniel and we went back to his house, and we got out the guitars and we were working on some songs, and we decided, you know, let's drink a couple beers, but we didn't have a whole lot. So we drank a few beers that were in the fridge, and we're going to go to a keg party later on, but it wasn't for a little while still. And I said, oh man, we're running out, and we're still, you know, we're not going out for a little while longer. And he says, well, you know what I have? And what he had was, there are these two Costa Rican students that had given him a bottle of guaro. like a fifth. Are you familiar with that is?
I've never had it, but I've heard of it.
It's like, from my understanding, it's a clear Costa Rican sugarcane liquor.
Okay, yep. Okay. Yep.
Okay. And so they'd given him this bottle of Guaro, and he goes, well, let's break out the Guaro. So, all right. And so we start taking shots of it. And I was a very irresponsible liquor drinker back then, and I didn't mind outpacing everybody else. And so I had the lion's share of the bottle, and he had some, but I had a lot more. And I was feeling fantastic. The stuff tasted good. I was feeling great. We're working on some music. And then and we decided to go to the old keg party. And so we walked to it, and there's a big group of us, and it's Daniel and his brother Matt, and a few other faces would be familiar to Adam. And so we get to the party, and it wasn't anybody that I knew. I think it was just some girl's house. I didn't know her, but everybody was in the backyard. It was an outside party. And I was having a great time, and I was talking to lots of people, and I got a couple phone numbers, and I was feeling on fire. I was feeling really good about the night. And I said, it's pretty busy out here. I'm gonna walk around front and sit down on the front steps and just gather my thoughts a little bit and just kind of recharge away from the hustle and bustle of all these people in the back. So I walk around the front and I sit on the front steps, and there's a few other people hanging out, but they're kind of spread around. I believe that remember the soccer moms, the band Soccer Moms, they were gathered over by a tree, on the other side of the yard, and a few other people were kind of milling about. But I was alone sitting on the front steps of this home, and I was sipping a keg beer and I was smoking cigarettes, and this diminutive, weaselly looking guy comes walking around, and he stands right in front of me, and he just starts laughing, derisively, and I said, "What's up, dude?" And he goes, "You're nothing but a fucking pussy." I said, "Excuse me? What did you say?" He goes, "You're a fucking pussy." I said, "That's what I thought you said." And I leaped at him, and I got him by the collar of his shirt, and I put him down on the ground, and I start hitting him. And I'm, going to town on him, and he's just laughing, and it doesn't matter how, I'm hitting him in the face and he's laughing, I'm hitting him in the stomach and he's laughing. I pick him up off the ground, and I shove him up against a tree, and I'm swinging on him against a tree, and he's just laughing. He's not hitting back, and he's just laughing like a maniac. And I grab him again, and I throw him down into the road. And now I'm back on top of him, and I'm hitting him again, and I get a couple punches in on him, and then someone grabs me from behind, and it was Matt, who was a lot larger than me. And
Matt was a big dude.
Yeah. And he threw me over the shoulder, and he goes, "We gotta get out of here," and starts walking, and it's Matt and Daniel and Dane from King Monkey and maybe a few other people. And
these are all big dudes, by the way.
Yeah,
these are all big dudes who are like my height or taller.
Okay,
Yeah, and Matt was like, Matt would have been in Oklahoma. He would have been a lineman for sure.
Yeah,
because he was a big, broad-shouldered dude. Both of the boys were just super kind guys.
Yeah.
Now this is what I'm breaking in before because you're getting hauled off. But you never struck me as a type of person who would get into fights, at all, let alone, drinking and stuff like that. I mean, you didn't seem like you didn't have a reputation for that I ever knew from you. And people, especially when the music scene and the punk rock scene and all that stuff, when you're in Greenville, you knew who the people who would get into fights and who would, were bad shit talkers and it would do stuff like that. And you weren't, as far as I recall, you weren't one of those.
No, no, I'd never, I knew how to handle myself. I knew I wrestled in high school and there were some altercations, but no all out fist fights except for one in, when I was 18, it happened in the dorm in Belk Hall, and it was because I'd gotten jumped by a guy that had misunderstood a situation. He stabbed me in the back seven times.
Stabbed?
And, with a knife. Fuck, and so, dude. And it didn't, and I was just so in the red.
Yeah, over you didn't
it
feel
that. It didn't even slow me down. Yeah. And he ended up running off, but he turned himself in to the police because he got to wherever he was going and took one look at himself and he thought, I'm going to die. And so he turned himself in. They took us both to the same hospital and, we're separated by a curtain, you know, and, while they're working on both of us. But that was in the newspaper and everything. And the following year was when I met, when I kind of found my way into the punk rock scene, and I was kind of townie famous because of that incident. And so I think a lot of what kept me out of fights was just the sheer reputation as a killer. Yeah. And, it's true. I didn't pick fights. I wasn't looking for trouble. I would stick up for somebody if they were getting into it. But there weren't a lot of incidents.
There generally weren't a lot of incidents happening anyway. But yeah.
I think this guy just hit the right
mix
of
your two sheets
of inebriation.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly, man.
You know, he pushed the right buttons with me.
Yeah.
All right. So back to your story. Mm-hmm. You've been picked up and you're being carried. You are literally being carried away.
Yeah. So Matt is carrying me down the street. Blocks to, you know, traveling blocks back to 505 or the house where they lived. And I remember I was just furious. I didn't understand why they would have pulled me off. Like, let me finish it. Why are you pulling me off? Like, we got to get out of here. We got to go. And I didn't understand why they're so down to business. And I know my shoe had fallen off and I'm like, my shoe. And somebody hands me my shoe. And, you know, Matt's got me in like a fireman's carry with his legs in front of me and I'm draped over his back. Someone handed me the shoe and I'm beating his back with my shoe. And someone's like, thanks for giving him a shoe, guys. You know, and then a couple other looky loos were kind of following behind us and shouting some antagonizing things. And Daniel's like, get out of here. It's none of your business. You know, there's nothing to see here. And they're still going. And then Matt, you know, he's like the quiet one. You know, he turns around and goes, I'll let him go. And they go, all right, good night. And they turn around and they left, you know. So we get back to, they dump me in the front lawn of their house and I'm still furious. And I took a swing at Daniel and I hit him and Dane got behind me and put me in a sleeper hold, or Daniel put me in, somebody put me in a sleeper hold and knocked me out and threw me in the back of a car. And they're super pissed with me and impatient with me at this point. I'd worn out my welcome and they brought me back to my place and they carried me upstairs and they fished my keys out of my pocket and they let themselves into my apartment and they propped me up on the couch like a corpse and then they left. And the next morning I woke up and I was in the exact same position that I'd been in when they left me. So I was propped up like a corpse in a position that, you know, I'd slept in a position that no one would ever lay down in. And my leather jacket still zipped all up from the cold. And I was like, what the hell? You know, I couldn't remember how I got home. I'd been unconscious, you know, I look down at my hands and they are just caked in dried blood. I mean, they're just brown in dried blood. And I thought, oh no, like I killed somebody. Like, what happened? Yeah. Like, what did I do? You know, and I, and, So I get up and I clean myself up and I washed blood all off my hands, and my hands are just they're just cut to ribbons. And so I get dressed for work and I go to work, and I'm very, very hungover, and the day is rolling on, and I know people are starting to stir, and so I start making the phone calls, the shameful phone calls of who do I need to apologize? What did I do? Yeah. And, you know, I don't remember how this happened, and so the first person I called was Daniel, and Daniel said, "Well, what happened was we don't know what the hell you were doing. You were sitting on the front steps. You were smoking cigarettes. You were drinking a beer. Everything was fine. And then you looked up and said to nobody at all, 'What'd you say to me?' That's what I thought. And then you leaped onto the lawn and started punching the ground. And then you ran over to a tree and started punching the tree.
Oh my God.
And started punching the street. And we're like, 'We got to get you the hell out of here because you've lost your mind. He's having a psychotic break or something.' So they got me out of here. I'm like, 'Oh, you're messing with me. There was a guy there.' And it's like, 'Who's that guy? Who's that guy? I want to know who that guy was that was giving me problems.' Like, 'There was no guy.' I'm like, 'There was a guy. I'm telling you, there was a guy.' And they're like, and I mean, if you pulled me, I remember you pulling me off of, you guys pulling me off of him. You know, you had to see him. You know, who was he? Who knows him?' And like, 'There wasn't anybody there.' And so I was like, 'Ah,' and I didn't believe him at all. I get off the phone and I call the next person, and they told me the exact same story. And wow. I kept on making calls, and until I got, I'd exhausted the network, and I knew that none of these people had not gotten together for this grand conspiracy against me. Now, after like the sixth account corroborating each other's tale, I believe them that there was
you started that your own fight club, man.
That guy wasn't there.
That's so great.
And so the thing is, though, I would recognize this guy. Like, if I saw him in the street tomorrow, I'd be like, "There he is."
That's amazing.
Like, give us, what did he look like?
He was small in stature. He was wiry.
They're always wiry, man.
Yeah, he had brown hair. It was short. It wasn't. He wasn't like, you know, greasy, or, you know, he didn't subscribe to any particular subculture from his outer wrapping. You know, he just was a dude that looked pretty square, that was at a keg party and had some kind of problem with me. And I didn't understand why, and I wasn't going to take it. And
you fucked him up, man.
Yeah, man, I'm good.
Out of existence, dude.
That's so great. What a, that was a hell of a day, dude. Hell of a day. Aguaro did his job, man.
Aguaro, man. I think you meant the spirit of Aguaro.
Right.
Yes. Now, I have read about, in later years, I did read that Aguaro can result in hallucinations. But now I have dabbled in psychedelics since then, not before that, but since then. And I have never had a solid corporeal hallucination like that.
Yeah.
That was fully real. You could hook me up to a lie detector and I would have sworn that this was a real person.
Yeah.
And
man, that's crazy. That's intense, man.
Dude, it's I love that story.
That's so good. And,
because the obvious answer is Guaro. But there could be so many other things. You know, it could have been maybe it was like, you know, Greenville is a college town, and in college towns, there's a lot of, you know, it seems like there's a lot of activity.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of ghost activity and stuff like that. I heard so many people talking about, you know, oh, our house is haunted and this, that, and the other, that, you know, but which obviously I never encountered because apparently I lived in an apartment that was haunted and had no knowledge of, no experiences with anything. So, you know, maybe it was something that where like you only you saw this spirit or, maybe it was, you know, you had something just ticked in your brain that day, or maybe it was Guaro. So,
what if it was some college douchebag that had gotten himself beat to death, and now he was doomed to repeat the same stupid cycle for eternity.
I love that all the good stories start with, we're in Greenville. There is no more beer. We got to do something.
That's how the last one started.
It's so great. Oh, man. I can't wait to visit Greenville, man.
It's carried on, too, because like I'm still eating shit over that story.
I can imagine, dude.
This was some years ago, but I was on tour, and I was playing in Raleigh, and Daniel was at the show, and along with a couple other people who were familiar with that, and we had this song that was called Green Eye Demon, and starts off with, you know, I'm a wicked soul, I'm a green eye demon, and then there's another line, but I said, I'm a wicked soul, I'm a green eye demon, and then Daniel and the other guys in unison go, my name is Justin. I fought a tree for no reason.
That's great. That's so awesome, man. That's awesome. Not many people would have a story like that.
That's that's such a great story. Oh, that's so good. That's so good. It's weird for a whole other reason. And man, we appreciate that on a whole other level because we've all probably been there to some degree, but not maybe to that degree. So
Well, you managed to live to tell the tale. So
I think you owe it to everyone to write a song called Guaro about you know, fighting a guy that wasn't there. You know?
Oh man, that's awesome, man.
You can find some like Spanish flourish horns like in Ring of Fire.
Yeah.
You
know?
Yeah. 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 Well man, hey, thank you for coming back, man.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, Adam Berry, I love the show. Thank you for having me back.
Yeah, man.
And the more guests you guys have on, the more it reminds me of things that have happened. And so if something else triggers a memory, I will surely let you know.
Yeah, yeah. Please. Excellent, dude. Please do, man. Please do. That's great, man.
Hey guys, don't forget to follow us on all of our social media platforms. We're very 21st century. We're on Instagram at What's Your Weird Story. That's WATSYER Weird Story. We're at Twitter. We're at What's Your Weird. We got a Facebook page. It's the What's Your Weird Story podcast Facebook page. Just remember that our your is your because we're folksy. And we also have a www.whatsyourweirdstory.com. That's www.whatsyourweirdstory.com. That's for all of your social media platforms. And those are ways you can contact us and set up an interview if you want to be a part of the show. So look us up. Well, I've never had Guaro. And I'm pretty sure I never will.
Man, yeah.
Beyond the fact that I don't drink anymore, but beyond that, that's a fair enough warning right there. Yeah.
Guaro should come with a warning label. Guaro might cause you to start your own fight club.
Dude, yeah, that was the first story that he had mentioned whenever he said he wanted to come back on. And I was like, oh my God, I love that. I love that. because really that is out of character for him.
Yeah.
To be like that. I've never known him to, you know, fight anybody. And I guess I don't know him to fight physically anybody.
Yeah.
Who was actually there. just the spirit of Guaro.
Yeah, it was great. It was hilarious. I didn't know where it was going. I just, when he got the punchline, I just thought, oh my God, that is hilarious, yeah. Dude. Yeah. You had to be pretty fucked up to do that, you know?
For sure, man, for sure. You know, his story about his friend growing up, that just, you know, that's tragic. You know, that's tough. But, you know, that's unfortunately, you know, I want to know more about the circumstances. But, yeah, I don't want to, you know, I don't want to know the true horror that could be behind it.
Yeah.
You know.
Must have been something heavy to go through.
Yeah.
At that age.
Definitely, dude. Definitely. But, you know, he mentioned that story because he was kind of hesitant on that. But it's, I think, enough of a good story. It's something that is not like, it's weird because that doesn't normally happen. No. You know, it's not your normal thing. But and I think it's something that people, I mean, I don't want to say enjoy hearing, but we do. You know, I mean, we like to hear the good things, but we also like to hear the tragedies, and we like to hear the stories and crime stuff, you know, but I mean, we have that curious nature inside of us.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's kind of the hero story too, because he was in such a difficult situation moving to where he moved to, mm-hmm. and being a fish out of water, and, you know, finds one guy that sort of gives him the time of day. And then that guy turns out to be, you know, off his rocker. You know, the good news is he turned out really well, you know?
Yeah.
And if anything, if you make it through something like that, you're usually a little bit stronger of a person for it. You
for
know?
Sure.
And for sure. So that's fantastic. And then the other, you know, of course, is his daughter. Her stories are, man, just hilarious. I mean, it's great that he finds humor in her creepiness, you know, because it's pretty creepy, man.
What would you do, Barry? You know, I've only got cats, so they're always doing weird stuff like that, just being in the places at a weird time. But if your daughter or one of your boys was like that, just like, would just, you know, were freaking out on you for unperceived reasons, you know, just started freaking out, how would you react, man?
I would want to try to figure out what it is that they're freaking out about so I could deal with it.
Right,
but there's nothing there. So it's like, what's going, you know, it would be strange. It'd be strange, man. You know, I've never, other than having a friend that had the night terrors, I haven't really had to deal with that too much. But sleepwalking is a weird thing, man, because you hear about people that are on Ambien and stuff, and they have that kind of stuff, man. You know, get the feeling that there could be some of that going on. You know, not Ambien, but saying that there's a blurred line between awake and asleep, you know?
One of my friends, one of my friends was telling me an Ambien story about his dad. And he was home for the holidays, and his dad, who was normally a very, very conservative, he's an only child, so he's close to his parents, but they're all fairly kind of reserved people in general anyway, you know. But his dad, like, goes to bed pretty early, and my friend was watching TV, and his dad came out, and he brought out all these watches that he owned, these wristwatches that he owned, and he started displaying them and telling his son about all these different watches, almost like he was on a home shopping network kind of a thing.
Oh my God.
He was going through all this stuff, and the whole time he was asleep because he did this, you know, because he was on Ambien.
Wow, man. Just
so weird, dude.
That's
so
crazy. Weird. I've heard of people cooking full meals, like going to the grocery store, cooking full freaking meals, having the meal, going to bed, waking up, not having any idea what happened.
Yeah. I'll need to get hold of Garrett and see if we can get him to tell that story. He probably won't want to, but, you know, I need to get hold of my friend there and see if he would, you know, we could get him on to give the full version. I may have mangled that, but it was something like that. It was this really funny,
that's funny
ambience. So
that's awesome. But so thanks to Justin for hanging out, man. Again.
Yeah, dude, that was really cool. And, you know, we've got a couple of other people confirmed already who want to come back and be on again. So we're going to have some returning guests.
Great.
Some returning friends, and that's really awesome. And we, you know, we love that, and we love to hear from new people. As always, the invitation is extended for everybody out there to join us, tell their stories, you know. And, you know, again, if you don't want to be interviewed, you can write it down and email it to us, and we can have it read on the air.
Yes, which is a lot of fun. And I think is another way for you to be involved in what we're doing. And even if it's nothing crazy, like, you know, again, you don't have to have a ton of material, but you got a fun story, send it in, you know, let us react to it, and we'll put it out there.
Also, you know what we want to hear from you guys? We want to hear your comments. We love to get some ratings and reviews, especially on iTunes. iTunes is where the majority of all traffic for podcasts comes from. So if you leave reviews and ratings there, that really helps us out a lot, and that'll boost us up. And this new year that we have, because this is our first episode of the new year, we've got a lot of plans of stuff we're going to do. And we're going to be doing some giveaways, and we're going to be doing some contests and stuff based off of like leaving iTunes reviews and other comments on different social media stuff to help us grow the audience and grow listeners and get more people involved in the podcast. And so we would love it if you could help us out with that stuff and give us some backing and some support on that end. You guys have already been amazing supporters. We really, really appreciate that.
Definitely. Definitely. Words of encouragement, mm-hmm. getting involved in any way that you can. You know, the cool thing is also we've seen some activity on Facebook where, you know, our guests are interacting with each other, you know, mm-hmm. guests are interacting with each other. People that listen to podcasts are interacting with the guests and things like that. That's really cool. I mean, that's kind of blows my mind, you know?
Yeah. And that's what we want to cultivate that as well. We want this to grow as a community. You know, look us up on our Instagram, which is What's Your Weird Story? It's YER. We're on Twitter. I promise you I'm going to be more active on Twitter this year, and that's What's Your Weird. And, you know, our email, if you want to write us your stories to be read, you can send it to our Facebook page, message us there, or you can contact us on whatsyourweird@gmail.com. And we also have the hotline, and we need to be better. We're getting better at promoting the hotline as well. And it's a free call in the States, I believe. It is area code 513-909-9821. You like my voice there?
That was hot.
That was good.
The hot take.
That was the hot take for the hotline. And I'm working on a 1-900 number that you can also call. First minute was $1.99. Every minute of 99 after that. That's probably not going to happen. But anyway, guys, 2019, we are here. We are rocking it. We are going to rock it more. We're going to grow. We're all going to kick ass, and we're all going to take names, and we're all going to be super positive, and we're all just going to roll with the punches. And we're all going to think weird and think magically and have amazing years. So happy new year, everybody.
Yeah. Happy new year. Let's go for a run.
Yeah, you do that. As always, if you have a weird story, we want to hear it.
If you have a lot of them, we want to hear them all.
We can't do this podcast without your invaluable contributions.
Whether it's sharing your stories,
listening,
rating,
and spreading the word about the podcast. Thanks for listening. Till next time, be safe.
Be weird.
The stories presented on the What's Your Weird Story podcast are, to our knowledge, true experiences that our guests have had. We can't take the time to research all claims made, and besides, it's just not as fun.